Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Oh, yes, everybody. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we are excited and happy today to start a day with some beautiful music and an amazing interview that we have set up for you. But before I start, I'd like to keep our tradition of giving you a quote. And our quote for today is by an author. And her name is Ruthie Lindsay. If you haven't heard of her, she is an inspirational author. She writes a lot of inspirational things. And so her quote today really fits our guest for today. So the quote is, if you see something beautiful in someone, speak it. Talk about it and let the world know. And seeing beautiful things in people is possible if you really focus on that and if you really want to see something beautiful. And our guest today, Aki Hirata Baker, has so many beautiful things inside of her that we can talk about. She is truly an inspiration in her own right. And she's the owner manager of a place called Minka, which is located in Brooklyn in a very interesting part of Brooklyn, actually. You would really never think that you would find something like that right in the middle in that part of Brooklyn. And so I'd like to welcome Aki to our show today, and I'd like to introduce you and start talking about it. Aki, welcome to Tippy Talk, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tippy.
And now what we're going to do, I'm going to shut this off so I can hear you better.
Okay.
There we go. Sometimes the music gets too loud and I can't hear myself talk. So thank you so much for joining us today, Minka. I actually was very, very impressed with the place that you're running in Brooklyn. I just want to let everybody know I came to visit Minka in a space that she has created that she's going to tell us about right now. But the thing that impresses you the most when you walk in is that you automatically feel welcome, because the energy is very welcoming, very strong, and nobody really has to say a word to you, and you already feel welcome. So, okay, I know it's you that has a lot to do with the creation. I know you don't do everything alone, but you definitely had a lot to do with the creation of that space. So describe the space to us. Tell us what it is before we even talk about you and how you came there.
Well, Tippy, thank you so much for the kind words. I mean, that's really what we aim to do. So, you know, just you walking in there and feeling that, you know, hearing that you say that is just such a awesome thing to me. So thank you.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Minka, Because that's really the aim, you know. And Minka, mm-hmm. the name itself, it's a Japanese language. That's where I am originally from. And Minka means home of the people. So when we first, created this space, we wanted this place for everyone to come and, you know, get what they need. Right now, we don't really live in a society where what we need, what we really need to do for our soul and body and mind is not really honored. So we wanted to create a space where people walk in and they feel free to really explore and think and feel what they really need to do for themselves.
Wow, that is really awesome. A place to get what we need. You know, you're right. I don't know about everywhere else in the world, but in Brooklyn or in New York or in any of the five boroughs, those kind of places don't really exist that much. To walk into a place where you can explore what is it that I need, what is it that I want. So, yeah, I think you definitely accomplished it for those few moments that I walked in and felt really welcome. So I'm thinking if I felt it, anybody would, because I'm very suspicious in Brooklyn when I walk into places. So I'm very suspicious.
I do get those comments like, wow, what is this place? This place just feels, I don't know, it feels like a hug. It's like, oh, great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it does. It definitely feels like a hug. So I could tell us a little bit about you. How did you end up in Brooklyn? You're from Japan.
I am from Japan. And
what part of Japan are you from?
I'm from Gunma, which is about 2 hours north of Tokyo. So I grew up in a borderline kind of like suburb and rural area of Japan. I grew up in a household where I live with my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my grandfather, my mother, and, you know, had a fairly normal, if there's such a thing. I had a fairly normal upbringing, middle class. But the thing is that I never felt at home fully. I felt that I always have to somehow apologize for my existence being there, and I think it's just because I felt so different. I felt so foreign in my own land. And, you know, moving to the States really was about exploring what it means to fully be me and be okay with that. And, of course,
that's
I didn't know that at the age of 18, but hindsight, that's what I was doing.
So that's really interesting because you grow up in a place where you would think when you have your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, you're really rooted in a community of an entire family, and yet you don't feel at home. That's really unusual. Usually people will not feel at home if they're not welcome there, if they're treated badly. Were you mistreated? Was it the social thing? Like, what was it that made you feel not at home? Can you pinpoint it now?
You know, I never was mistreated blatantly. Well, there's not many things that's blatant in Japan, if I must say.
That's true.
Everything is very subtle. It's multi-layered. I mean, I was born there, I think, to really understand that, too, you know, that things are multi-layered, that things are not what it seems, and things are not what it said. So that's something that I was born there to learn, I believe. But I was not, you know, I was not mistreated, but, you know, I sensed it in my gut, on my skin, that something was not quite a right fit. You know, when you wear a right piece of clothing, you know it's right for you, it fits you right.
Right.
But when you put on something that's not yours, or if it's cut a little differently or whatever, then it just doesn't lay perfectly on you. You know that feeling? It was just
Because,
like,
I know in Japan, because I was there, that everything is done beneath the surface. You know, nothing is blatant. Nobody's going to come out, like in New York, going to come out and say, hey, fuck you, or something like that. They're not going to do it that way. They're going to do it in a subtle way, which in a way can drive you crazy because you can't really touch it and feel it, but it's there.
Yeah. And
all the time.
You're right. Because you can't quite pinpoint it, it drives you mad, right?
Right. It could definitely drive you mad. But it didn't drive you mad. It drove you.
Yeah. It did
drive
me mad. So
it drove you to. It did? Actually, it could, yeah. I can see that. So it drove you to try to find yourself in a place where you would feel more comfortable, more accepted, and so you wanted to go away from that place. So you went away and you came to New York.
Actually, I lived in the state of Georgia for a minute.
And how was that? Yeah, that was your first step away from Japan.
Mm-hmm. So I moved to a place called Americus, Georgia. That's South Georgia. It's about 4 hours from Atlanta, Georgia. And then after that, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, I am actually glad that I have that experience because living in New York is not necessarily the same thing as living in the United States.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's
New
funny
York is
because
its own
I totally
thing.
Can relate.
Yeah, New York is its own thing. So I am glad that I have that experience of living somewhere else other than New York City. But just like I explained to you how Japan felt like, things were kind of unsaid or things were beneath the surface, things were not, or being outsider is not somehow okay. Now, that I still felt in the South.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and then I ended up moving to New York.
So you showed up in New York, and how was that?
Oh, that was quite, it was quite an interesting transition as well, because I was already a single mother, and I had to, I got kicked out of a place, and I have to live in a domestic violence shelter. My ex-husband was abusive as well. So, you know, I went through all of that. And, you know, being a single mom in New York City was definitely not the easiest thing. But I found my community to, like, help me and support me to move through that phase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but without all of this, I would not really have understood who I was. That's the funny part, right?
That's amazing.
I mean, I wouldn't wish this on anyone, nor I don't want to go through it again. None of them. I don't have to
once
do it
is
anymore. I mean, so sometimes I look at myself while I'm, you know, driving over the Brooklyn Bridge or something, and then I just kind of think of myself, this is so strange that I am here, independent, own a business, as a foreign woman, driving a car, and not too long ago, I was living in a domestic violence shelter.
Wow. Isn't it amazing how you can transform your life so quickly, but while it's happening, it seems like forever. It seems like, oh my God, this is never going to...
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I kept thinking, okay, this must be the bottom of the... you know, pile. This must be the bottom of the pile. But when I got to the domestic violence shelter the first night, I knew this is the bottom. This is that bottom that I do not get any lower, I don't think.
Wow. So the thing that's amazing about people that have been through a lot, and you obviously have been through a lot, you know, it is that you have two choices. You can either allow that everything that happens to you to get you down and get you crazy and end up in a mental institute, or which basically is okay because it's so much to handle, or you can rise to the occasion and, like you said, I'm glad it happened to me. I learned from it. It made me the person that I am today, and then turn around and make it your gift and turn around and give something back to the community based on that. And I think it sounds like that's what you did. Do you feel that that's what you did?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I did. And, you know, it wasn't a quick turnaround. I did have a, you know, moderate to severe depression for quite some time, and that's in my family trait as well. My mother had it. My grandmother had it. You know, my mother actually mm-hmm. died of suicide. She committed suicide to die.
Wow.
So it is definitely in my gene, and I do... Well, I call depression kind of like a diabetes. You are either managing it well or you have an outbreak. So it's never going away, and I am very clear about that, but it's been well managed for a while, but it was not for a long time, and I had to try so many different things in order for me to get to where I am. So, you know, once I really realized that, oh, my God, I am handling this and I am doing okay, what can I do? Where can I serve the best? And then it just really made sense for me to really do the work that I do now.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. So I have two questions about depression, because that's like a really powerful thing that you said. You said depression is something that you either manage or outbreak. And I
mm-hmm.
think that's really powerful for people that are really suffering from depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so the two questions are, first of all, do you think that people that are suffering from depression are people that you can help more because you totally can relate to that?
In my way of servicing people, I am just a guide, because their willingness to live, their willingness to heal is really the driving force, the main driving force for them to get better, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if people are willing and if they are seeking help, then yes, I do feel that I can help in a way that I can do best. But another piece of it is that I know how to hold space for people who have gone through a very difficult time, because I've mm-hmm. gone through them, and then it does not surprise me. So I believe that a lot of the people who come to me feel comfortable telling me the deepest, kind of the scariest thing that they have experienced, because they know I won't be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not only you won't be afraid, but you won't judge it.
No, I won't judge. Yeah.
Right. So tell us what you do.
So I personally practice hands-on energetic healing, so that's Reiki and some other form of energy healing, and I also practice flower essence therapy. Flower essence therapy is a vibrational medicine, and it's quite like magic. I know I shouldn't probably say that, but it works a little bit like a magic, because it works on your subconscious, not just on your conscious level. So it has this magical quality to it, and I really, really do love practicing them.
Why did you say that when you said it works like magic, and then you said, I really shouldn't say that? I think that's very interesting, because people have an idea of what magic is, but what
uh-huh.
is it really?
You know, I think in the most, well, you know what, I shouldn't say that, because your listeners know better, so I should say magic here, and they should love it. Let me just say that.
Yes.
In the most conventional
Well, you never know who's listening, though.
Yeah, that's very true. So, yes, So for those of you who are skeptical of magic, thinking that magic is something dark and witchy, that's not necessarily. I always say that being a human being is a magical act, because if you even think in a chemical and biological level, how many things have to be working properly for us to function normally? And most of us are functioning fairly normally. I mean, that is magic. How can
right.
it even be possible that I'm alive talking to you and moving my hands around and breathing and blinking and all these things so I can function? Isn't that like magic?
Well, totally. I think looking at a flower, which is a much simpler biological entity than
mm-hmm.
a human being, is even
mm-hmm.
magical. What makes
yeah.
it grow, what makes it go into different colors. I think looking at a mountain is magic. I think just looking at the sky is magic. So you're talking to the wrong person about talking about magic. But to
right.
me, it's more than magic. It's proof that there is a creator, that somebody created all these amazing things. There's no way that it
mm-hmm.
could have been created by itself.
Right.
There's no way that
right.
it could have created itself. It's like when you look at a beautiful painting and you say the cat just walked in and spilled some ink and this beautiful painting came out. That's like
mm-hmm.
crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're quite right, because, you know, in the work that I do, and also most of the practitioners at Minka, we all believe firmly the existence of soul and existence that and the power our soul has, and also how our souls are led by something unseen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the depths of my depression, why did I think I needed to keep going?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and how did I find at the depths of my depression all the things that I needed? So I'm actually doing this work now. I mean, I think that's magic. I think there is something unseen that's leading me to be of that great service.
Exactly. So believing in something unseen, everybody kind of automatically assumes that it means what they think the unseen means. And I learned that when you assume things, you always
mm-hmm.
assume wrong. So... Because you mentioned magic and because you mentioned you practice, do you practice witchcraft? Do you practice the occult, or do you believe in God?
I don't practice occult. I don't practice, I'm not a witch. I don't practice a witchcraft. I do believe in God, but my God might not be the same as everybody else's. I was raised in Shinto religion. In Shinto religion, there's spirits everywhere, and they're all God. So there is God in this rock. There is a God in the sky. There's a God in each of the trees. So that's how I see God. It's all-encompassing, energetic, spiritual being that somehow makes things move in the world. That's how I see God.
Okay, so is it multiple gods, or is it one big all-encompassing God?
I think it is a one big all-encompassing God in my psyche. It's just one,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. It has a many iteration, many way of expressing
mm-hmm.
itself.
That's a very powerful way of looking at things. Very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So. So on a personal level, that sounds amazing. And before I ask you the personal question, you
yeah.
have a location that you like to invite people. Would you like to give the address so that people can come and check you out over there?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. So Minka Brooklyn, my baby,
mm-hmm.
it is a label of love of myself and a lot of others. We call this place a healing home for all who are there. It is right by the Prospect Park and the Brooklyn Botanical Garden at 1120 Washington Avenue, and we are on the third floor. So it is very close to Lefferts Avenue and Empire Boulevard, and the entrance is on Washington Avenue.
And I love what Minka means. It means home of the people. So if you want to feel at home, and if you want to experience something beautiful on a very subtle level, you know, nobody's going to run up and hug you when you walk in, but you're going to feel as if somebody did. And so the name Minka, which means home of the people, is really, really appropriate for a place where your goal is really to make people feel at home and make people feel something beautiful. So I think you picked something really, really beautiful. And so if you would like to check it out, definitely go there, check it out, and come back and tell us, how was the energy? How did you feel about it?
Yeah, but see, even that hug was for real, right?
Exactly. Come and tell me how you felt when you were hugged. And on the second level, even deeper than that, is that you actually have spaces available for people if they have a gift or if they have some kind of a spiritual service that they want to also practice. You also have a space for them to be able to express that, which is already a second level, which is also really, really a beautiful part of it. And we're not going to go into the details of that right now, but we will in the future, of how that works and what the place is. Right now, I invite you all to come down and check out Minka, because that really has to be the first step. And it was my first step, so you have to do it too.
And then I forgot to mention, we actually have a sitting library of all kind of healing and spirituality books. So people can just come and have tea and read books.
Oh, my God. That's better than going to the library, right?
It's probably quieter.
Yeah, so if you're on your way to the library, make a U-turn and check out Minka first.
Yeah, especially if you're looking for books on. Yeah, especially if you're looking for books on healing or spirituality, then yeah, we got them.
Absolutely. And so that's really important. That was the first thing that I wanted everybody to know. And then the second question about you is, in your name, you have Aki Hirata Baker. So I'm going to assume that Hirata Baker means that you got married, and Baker might be your married name?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes,
so now you're happily married?
I am.
Awesome. And you have you said you have a girl, a baby girl. How old is your?
I actually have three children.
Ooh,
and
nice.
My oldest, who I call my partner, who helped me survive through the darkest moments of my life, she's 19.
Wow, nice
age. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's 19 and she's a teenager, and she's awesome and teenager all at the same time.
I don't know how that works, but okay.
Yeah, and my middle son is 10. And then my youngest is 4.
Oh, wow. So you have your hands full.
I know, I will never be done. I guess we will never be done. Once you have a child, you will not be done. But
no.
Yeah,
no.
My youngest is still 4.
Yeah, and even if your youngest was 40, you still wouldn't be done.
Yeah, I wouldn't make any difference. I would still be worrying about things.
Absolutely. You worry about your kids, and then when they have kids, you worry about them just as much as you worry about everybody else. So it sounds like we have a lot more to discuss. I would like to invite everybody to come and visit and give me some feedback on what you feel. Also, let us know if you have any questions or comments. You can comment right here below. You could let us know if there's anything else that you would like to know or what you really think. And if you want to get in touch with either Minka or directly just with Aki, how can they get in touch with you?
Email usually is the easiest way to get communication going, because oftentimes if I'm in session, I won't be picking up the phone, obviously. So email to Minka Brooklyn is info@minkabrooklyn.com. And for myself, you can send an email to me directly to my personal email at Aki, that's A-K-I, Aki, it's A-C-K-E-E, @gmail.com. So if anybody knows what Aki is, it might actually tell you something a little bit more about myself. Somebody might learn something from that email address.
Awesome. So it's Aki, A-K-I. Let's repeat that email address. Aki, A-K-I.
Mm-hmm.
Aki, A-K-Y.
No, it's A-K-I, A-C-K-E-E.
At
gmail.com. So Aki is a national fruit of Jamaica.
Mm.
And
uh-huh.
As you might have guessed, my husband is Jamaican.
Oh, okay. No, I would not have guessed that.
People from Caribbean usually know.
Right, right, because it's their national food, so of course they would know, but I am totally ignorant of that, so I didn't know. So it's A-C-K-E-E is the national food of Jamaica.
Yes.
Oh, so your name spelled differently is the national. Got it. They're very cute.
Yeah, so
very,
it is. It
cute.
Was a joke, actually, when I got with my
husband.
Right. It was a joke, but now it stayed. So it's going to be like that for a long time.
Yeah, like forever.
Forever, it seems. Been going strong.
Yes, well, that is wonderful, and it's been really wonderful chatting with you, and time really does fly, and it's already time for us to say goodbye.
Wow.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been really, when you're having a good time and when you're talking about something really interesting, time really just flies by. And so I'd like to really thank you for joining us. I'd like to invite you to come and join us again anytime. I'd like to invite you, the listener, to join us as well and join Aki at Minka as well and come and visit. Maybe if you like and if a few of you would like to get together, we can do a group visit as well.
Oh,
that
would be great.
If Aki can handle that.
Yeah. We can do a field trip.
That's really... Yeah, field trip, exactly, because parking around there isn't so much fun, so we can definitely park one car would be easier than coming in a
And we are actually
cars,
very
yeah.
close to the public transportation, too, that I forgot to mention. It's Q train or S train to Prospect Park stop. So it is actually very conveniently located in terms of public transportation as well.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, it is kind of near everything, near public transportation, near the gardens, near the public library, near a beautiful Prospect Park walk. There's so many things going on around there. You can actually make it a day of just fun and relaxation and visiting everything in the area. And so once again, thank you so much.
Thank
you are
you
listening
so much
to
for having me.
It's been a pleasure, total pleasure. And thank you for listening to Tipi Talk. We like to bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. And don't be afraid of magic. It can be a beautiful thing. So, Aki, thank you for your magic in this wonderful little conversation that we had. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.